nothing to do with that," said Hermione, her cheeks reddening. "I just think it's very irresponsible to start performing spells when you don't even know what they're for. And stop talking about the prince as if it's his title. I bet it's just a stupid nickname, and it doesn't seem as though he was a very nice person to me."
"I don't see where you get that from," said Harry heatedly. "If he'd been a budding Death Eater, he wouldn't have been boasting about being half-blood, would he?" Even as he said it, Harry remembered that his father had been pure-blood. But he pushed the thought out of his mind. He would worry about that later.
"The Death Eaters can't all be pure blood. There aren't enough pure blood wizards left," said Hermione stubbornly. "I expect most of them are half-bloods, pretending to be pure. It's only muggle-borns they hate. They'd be quite happy to let you and Ron join up."
"There's no way they'd let me be a Death Eater," said Ron indignantly, a bit of sausage flying off the fork he was now brandishing at Hermione and hitting Ernie McMillan on the head. "My whole family are blood traitors. That's as bad as muggle-borns to Death Eaters."
"And they'd love to have me," said Harry sarcastically. "We'd be best pals if they didn't keep trying to do me in."
This made Ron laugh. Even Hermione gave a grudging smile, and a distraction arrived in the shape of Ginny.
"Hey, Harry, I'm supposed to give you this."
It was a scroll of parchment with Harry's name written upon it in familiar, thin, slanting writing.
"Thanks, Ginny. It's Dumbledore's next lesson," Harry told Ron and Hermione, pulling open the parchment and quickly reading its contents. "Monday evening."
He felt suddenly light and happy.
"Want to join us in Hogsmeade, Ginny?" he asked. "I'm going with Dean. Might see you there," she replied, waving at them as she left.
Filch was standing at the oak front doors as usual, checking off the names of people who had permission to go into Hogsmeade. The process took even longer than normal, as Filch was triple-checking everybody with his secrecy sensor.
"What does it matter if we're smuggling dark stuff out?" demanded Ron,
eyeing the long, thin secrecy sensor with apprehension.
"Surely you ought to be checking what we bring back in."
His cheek earned him a few extra jabs with the sensor, and he was still wincing as they stepped out into the wind and sleet. The walk into Hogsmeade was not enjoyable. Harry wrapped his scarf over his lower face. The exposed parts soon felt both raw and numb. The road to the village was full of students bent double against the bitter wind. More than once, Harry wondered whether they might not have had a better time in the warm common room, and when they finally reached Hogsmeade and saw that Zonko's joke shop had been boarded up, Harry took it as confirmation that this trip was not destined to be fun. Ron pointed, with a thickly gloved hand, toward Honeydukes, which was mercifully open, and Harry and Hermione staggered in his wake into the crowded shop.
"Thank God," shivered Ron, as they were enveloped by warm, toffee-scented air. "Let's stay here all afternoon."
"Harry, my boy," said a booming voice from behind them.
"Oh, no," muttered Harry.
The three of them turned to see Professor Slughorn, who was wearing an enormous furry hat and an overcoat with matching fur collar, clutching a large bag of crystallized pineapple and occupying at least a quarter of the shop.
"Harry, that's three of my little suppers you've missed now," said Slughorn, poking him genially in the chest. "It won't do, my boy. I'm determined to have you. Miss Granger loves them, don't you?"
"Yes," said Hermione helplessly. "They're really..."
"So why don't you come along, Harry?" demanded Slughorn.
"Well, I've had Quidditch practice, Professor," said Harry, who had indeed been scheduling practices every time Slughorn had sent him a little violet ribbon-adorned invitation.
This strategy meant that Ron was not left out, and they usually had a laugh with Ginny, imagining Hermione shut up with McLagan and Zabini.
"Well, I certainly expect you to win your first match after all this hard work," said Slughorn. "But a little recreation never hurt anybody. Now, how about Monday night? You can't possibly want to practice in this weather."
"I can't, Professor. I've got an appointment with Professor Dumbledore that evening."
"Unlucky again," cried Slughorn dramatically. "Ah, well, You can't evade me forever, Harry.
And with a regal wave, he waddled out of the shop, taking as little notice of Ron as though he had been a display of cockroach clusters.
I can't believe you wriggled out of another one, said Hermione, shaking her head. They're not that bad, you know. They're even quite fun sometimes.
But then she caught sight of Ron's expression.
Oh, look, they've got deluxe sugar quills. Those would last hours.
Glad that Hermione had changed the subject, Harry showed much more interest in the new extra-large sugar quills than he normally would have done, but Ron continued to look moody and merely shrugged when Hermione asked him where he wanted to go next.
Let's go to the Three Broomsticks, said Harry. It'll be warm.
They bundled their scarves back over their faces and left the sweet shop. The bitter wind was like knives on their faces after the sugary warmth of honeydukes. The street was not very busy. Nobody was lingering to chat, just hurrying toward their destinations. The exceptions were two men, a little ahead of them, standing just outside the Three Broomsticks. One was very tall and thin. Squinting through his rain-washed glasses, Harry recognized the barman who worked in the other Hogsmeade pub, the Hog's Head. As Harry, Ron, and Hermione drew closer, the barman drew his cloak more tightly around his neck and walked away, leaving the shorter man to fumble with something in his arms. They were barely feet from him when Harry realized who the man was.
Mundungus!
The squat, bandy-legged man with long, straggly ginger hair jumped and dropped an ancient suitcase, which burst open, releasing what looked like the entire contents of a junk shop window.
Oh! Hello, Harry, said Mundungus Fletcher,
with a most unconvincing stab at airiness.
Well, don't let me keep you.
And he began scrabbling on the ground to retrieve the contents of his suitcase with every appearance of a man eager to be gone.
Are you selling this stuff?
Asked Harry, watching Mundungus grab an assortment of grubby-looking objects from the ground.
Oh, well, got to scrape a living, said Mundungus. Give me that.
Ron had stooped down and picked up something silver.
Hang on, Ron said slowly. This looks familiar.
Thank you,
said Mundungus, snatching the goblet out of Ron's hand and stuffing it back into the case.
Well, I'll see you all. Ouch!
Harry had pinned Mundungus against the wall of the pub by the throat. Holding him fast with one hand, he pulled out his wand.
Harry,
squealed Hermione.
You took that from Sirius's house,
said Harry, who was almost nose to nose with Mundungus and was breathing in an unpleasant smell of old tobacco and spirits.
That had the Black Family crest on it.
I know. What?
Spluttered Mundungus, who was slowly turning purple.
What did you do? Go back the night he died and strip the place? Snarled Harry.
I know,